I would that you could this understand. Your happy destiny is unavoidable. You cannot not be saved. There is no hell except not knowing this. So now, as parents, spouses, and loved ones, seek not to make of your love a glue that binds, but rather a magnet that first attracts, then turns around and repels, lest those who are attracted begin to believe they must stick to you to survive. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be more damaging to another. Let your love propel your beloveds into the world and into the full experience of who they are. In this will you have truly loved. It is a great challenge, this path of the householder. There are many distractions, many worldly concerns. The ascetic is bothered by none of these. He has brought his bread and water and given his humble mat on which to lie. And he can devote his every hour to prayer, meditation, and contemplation of the divine. How easy to see the divine under such circumstances. How simple a task. But give one a spouse and children. See the divine in a baby who needs changing at 3 a.m. See the divine in a bill that needs paying by the first of the month. Recognize the hand of God in the illness that takes a spouse, the job that's lost, the child's fever, the parent's pain. Now we are talking saintliness. I understand your fatigue. I know you are tired of the struggle. Yet I tell you this. When you follow me, the struggle disappears. Live in your God space, and the events become blessings, one and all.
How can I get to my God space? When I've lost my job, the rent needs paying, the kids need a dentist, and being in my lofty philosophical space seems the least likely way to solve any of this.
Do not forsake me when you need me most. Now is the hour of your greatest testing. Now is the time of your greatest chance. It is the chance to prove everything that has been recorded here. When I say don't forsake me, I sound like that needy neurotic God we talked about, but I'm not. You can forsake me all you want. I don't care, and it won't change a thing between us. I merely say this in answer to your questions. It is when the going gets tough that you so often forget who you are and the tools I have given you for creating the life that you would choose. Now is the time to go to your God space more than ever. First, it will bring you great peace of mind, and from a peaceful mind do great ideas flow. Ideas which could be solutions to the biggest problems you imagine yourself to have. Second, it is in your God space that you self-realize. And that is the purpose, the only purpose of your soul. When you are in your God space, you know and understand that all you are now experiencing is temporary. I tell you that heaven and earth shall pass away, but you shall not. This everlasting perspective helps you to see things in their proper light. You can define these present conditions and circumstances as what they truly are, temporary and temporal. You may then use them as tools, for that is what they are, temporary, temporal tools in the creation of present experience. Just who do you think you are? In relationship to the experience called lose a job, who do you think you are? And perhaps more to the point, who do you think I am? Do you imagine this is too big a problem for me to solve? Is getting out of this jam too big a miracle for me to handle? I understand that you may think it's too big for you to handle, even with all the tools I've given you, but do you really think it's too big for me?
Well, I know intellectually that no job is too big for God. But emotionally, I guess I can't be sure. Not whether you can handle it, but whether you will.
I see. So it's a matter of faith.
Well, yes.
You don't question my ability, you merely doubt my desire.
You see, I still live this theology that says there may be a lesson in here somewhere for me. I'm still not sure I'm supposed to have a solution. Maybe I'm supposed to have the problem. Maybe this is one of those tests my theology keeps telling me about. So I worry that this problem may not be solved, that this is one of those you're going to let me hang here with.
Perhaps this is a good time to go over once more how it is that I interact with you, because you think it is a question of my desire, and I'm telling you it's a question of yours. I want for you what you want for you, nothing more, nothing less. I don't sit here and make a judgment, request by request, whether something should be granted you. My law is the law of cause and effect, not the law of we'll see. There is nothing you can't have, if you choose it. Even before you ask, I will have given it to you. Do you believe this?
Nope. I'm sorry, I've seen too many prayers go unanswered.
Don't be sorry, just always stay with the truth. The truth of your experience. I understand that. I honor that. That's okay with me.
Good, because I don't believe that whatever I ask, I get. My life has not been a testimony to that. In fact, I rarely get what I ask for. When I do, I consider myself damn lucky.
That's an interesting choice of words. You have an option, it seems. In your life, you can either be damned lucky or you can be blessing lucky. I'd rather you be blessing lucky, but of course, I'll never interfere with your decisions. I tell you this, you always get what you create, and you are always creating. I don't make a judgment about the creations that you conjure. I simply empower you to conjure more and more and more and more. If you don't like what you've just created, choose again. My job as God is to always give you that opportunity. Now you're telling me that you haven't always gotten what you've wanted. Yet I'm here to tell you that you've always gotten what you called forth. Your life is always a result of your thoughts about it, including your obviously creative thought that you seldom get what you choose. Now, in this present instance, you see yourself as the victim of the situation in the losing of your job. Yet the truth is that you no longer chose that job. You stopped getting up in the morning in anticipation and began getting up with dread. You stopped feeling happy about your work and began feeling resentment. You even began fantasizing doing something else. You think these things mean nothing? You misunderstand your power. I tell you this, your life proceeds out of your intentions for it. So what is your intention now? Do you intend to prove your theory that life seldom brings you what you choose? Or do you intend to demonstrate who you really are and who I am?
Well, I feel chagrined, chastised, embarrassed.
Does that serve you? Why not simply acknowledge the truth when you hear it and move toward it? There's no need to recriminate against yourself. Simply notice what you've been choosing and choose again.
But why am I so ready to always choose the negative and then spank myself for it?
What can you expect? You were told from your earliest days that you're bad. You accept that you were born in sin. Feeling guilty is a learned response. You've been told to feel guilty about yourself for things you did before you could even do anything. You've been taught to feel shame for being born less than perfect. This alleged state of imperfection in which you are said to have come into this world is what your religionists have the gall to call original sin. And it is original sin, but not yours. It is the first sin to be perpetrated upon you by a world which knows nothing of God if it thinks that God would or could create anything imperfect. Some of your religions have built up whole theologies around this misconception. And that is what it is, literally, a misconception. For anything I conceive, all that to which I give life is perfect, a perfect reflection of perfection itself, made in the image and likeness of me. Yet in order to justify the idea of a punitive God, your religions needed to create something for me to be angry about. So even those people who lead exemplary lives somehow need to be saved. If they don't need to be saved from themselves, then they need to be saved from their own built-in imperfection. So, these religions say, you'd better do something about all of this and fast, or you'll go straight to hell. This, in the end, may do nothing to mollify a weird, vindictive, angry God, but it does give life to weird, vindictive, angry religions. Thus do religions perpetuate themselves. Thus does power remain concentrated in the hands of the few, rather than experienced through the hands of the many. Of course you choose constantly the lesser thought, the smaller idea, the tiniest conception of yourself and your power, to say nothing of me and mine. You've been taught to.
My God, how can I undo the teaching?
You can undo the teaching by listening to our conversations over and over again. Until you understand every passage, until you're familiar with every word, when you can repeat its passages to others, when you can bring its phrases to mind in the midst of the darkest hour, then you will have undone the teaching.
Yet there is still so much I want to ask you, still so much I want to know.
Indeed. You had a lot of questions. Shall we get back to them?